as we come before you, we pray that you would lift our head. We pray that as our rock, we would look to you. We would cast our eyes on you. We would fall on you. For what do we have if we don't have you? And so, Father, this morning we come before you and we pray that we would hear from you, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, you would encourage us out of your word. Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us and how you walk with us. And we pray that you would take this time and you would use it for your kingdom's work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Mike Bartosek. I'm one of the pastors here at McKernan. It's good to be here. It's good to enjoy a nice summer Sunday. I want to begin by telling you a story about a guy. It's a true story. Before he was even born, this man's father opened up a bank account for him. And when he was born, his father made a lump sum deposit into this account. And obviously, the infant was totally oblivious to this transaction. But over the course of time, this little guy came to know what his father had done for him. And what else he learned was that this one deposit was going to be enough to satisfy him for the rest of his life. And so as the boy grew, he became more aware of his spending, how he spent out of this account, and he recognized that there was always enough. So this little boy came to be a young man, continued to spend, became more aware of how he spent. Sometimes he spent wisely. Other times, he spent foolishly. Still, he never lacked. Fast forward some decades, this young man is now in midlife, not necessarily in crisis, but in midlife, and he decided that because he was now a husband and a father, he should maybe take a look at how he's been spending out of this account that his father set up for him. And so he ran the numbers and he discovered, much to his amazement, that to date he has spent just over $1.5 billion out of his account. Exactly, it's $1,555,113,600 out of that account. Now, how I know exactly how much that is because that little boy, young man, midlifer is me. Now, I said it was a true story. It is, in fact, true. However, the account that I'm spending out of isn't from any financial institution. It is from the bank of time. And what I've been spending, the currency that I've been spending, is moments measured in seconds. And these seconds are a very precious commodity. They are what make up my, our, days, our months, our weeks, our years, our life. Psalm 139 speaks to this when it says this in verse 16. It says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." So God wrote down in a ledger, if you will, the days that he has allocated for my life, for your life. And we've been given this gift of time. We've been given this gift of life to live, and it's one of the many resources that we need to steward, one of the many resources that we are to manage. Diogenes Laertius says, "Time is the most valuable thing that we can spend." Now, when we talk about spending on resources and how we spend things, I don't know about you, but this week, gas overnight went like up crazy. And so when we think of how we spend on our resources, sometimes it seems kind of arbitrary how things happen. And yet, we can, if we have sufficient resources, we can buy other resources. So this week when my gas tank went low, I needed to dig into my bank account to pay for my gas tank. And so I exchanged one set of resources for another. Now, time is a little different commodity than most other resources. Yes, I can buy someone else's time to use for my purposes. I can hire a handyman. I can hire a mechanic. I can hire a lawyer to work on my house, to fix my car, to help me out with legal matters. But one resource that I cannot buy any more of for myself is time. No matter how much money I have, I cannot buy another hour, not even another second, for today. And because of that reality, we see how valuable time is. And so this morning, I was thinking over the weeks leading up to today about what to share this morning. And often in summer, we set aside time for rest, for recreation, just to mix things up, to get out of the regular schedule. And I thought it might be good for us to reflect during some of that downtime on how we spend our time. And kind of reinforcing this idea of evaluating our use of time, Paul in Colossians 4 says this. He says, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time." Making the best use of time. So when we talk about making the best use of time, that requires us to evaluate, to take a look at, to consider how we use our time. And I have a bit of an object lesson that I'm going to use this morning. It's not a magic trick, okay? So I'm not going to dazzle you with wonders that are unexplainable, but I thought it might be a good way for us to kind of bring this home a little bit. Our time is finite. And so consider this jar. It might be our day, our week, our month, our year. Let's, for purposes of this morning, call this our week. And so if God allows us this entire week to live, we have a finite set of time. It doesn't matter if you're 8, 18, or 88, if you have all the money that in the world in the bank or none, we all have the same amount of time that fits in our jar. And a week is 7 days, 168 hours, 10,080 minutes, or 604,800 seconds. That fits in our jar. And oftentimes when we go about our week, there are things that we do that we kind of allow to filter into our life. There are these little moments. They fall into our life and we don't really think about them. There are things that happen that we're not really always all that aware of. And like this sand, it kind of filters in and we're not always fully sure of it. And this could be things like, oh, that app that we have on our phone that we keep playing and all of a sudden we look at the time and, oh my goodness, look at how much time has gone by. Going in like sand is, this is Facebook, this is Twitter, Pinterest, you know, where you look at all the different things on, and all the things that you want that you know, maybe can't afford or don't really need or things like that. This is binge watching on Netflix, The Office. This is the Lord of the Rings marathon that we do. This is the extra trip around the shopping mall to, you know, see all the things that we might like. This is the second hour of SportsCenter. This is all those things that we've kind of let fall into our life that we don't really think about. And it takes up a fair chunk of our time, of our week. But, I mean, there's still time left. We still have lots of room. And yet there's those things that fall in that they're not really big chunks of things that we need to do, but they often just filter in. Now, Stats Canada is this amazing thing where you can find out lots of things about stuff that you may not necessarily want to know about, but you can find out about. Stats Canada has a survey and results posted of what we use our time for as Canadians. And according to this survey, there are three really big chunks of time that we, most all of us, use up in our life. I call them the big three. One of them is sleep and personal care. So a big chunk of our time that kind of fits all in one piece is sleep and personal care. Then there's work or school and our studies, and that's another big chunk of time that most of us need to fit in. And then there's home-related activities. This is, you know, shopping for groceries, going to do the laundry, mowing the lawn, maintenance, that kind of thing. So we have these big three of things that we have to fit into our week. And so most of us have some things that we have to do. So we've got this time, and then we have things that we want to do. There's the discretionary time. So we have, and it depends on our situation, but this one has a happy face on it, so let's make it a happy thing that we want to do. So if you're married or you have good friends, you want to spend time with them, and so we'll put that into our week. And this one, the face is a little bit rubbed off, but if you have kids, then you might want to spend some time with them, and so we try and fit that into our week. You're here on a Sunday morning, and so you're probably concerned about your spiritual well-being, your spiritual health, and so you want to take care of that, so we try and fit some of that in there. And then there's these other discretionary things, like we want to take care of our bodies, so we go to the gym, and then we want to volunteer somewhere maybe, and so we try and fit that in. And then there's our hobbies, and then there's, well, socializing with friends, and I don't even know what this is, but we want to try and fit that in there too. But obviously, when we have this finite set of time and we don't really think about how we use it, we kind of come to the end and we realize that we don't have enough time to do all the things that we want to do and need to do and the things that kind of just fall into our week. And, you know, these things aren't evil or bad or anything, but so what would happen if we kind of reset the system? Let's take these things out and think about things in a different way. So what if we thought about how we use our time in a different way? So let's take our whole week and let's reset it. And what if we took care of setting some priorities and making sure that we took care of those big chunks of time? What if we, you know, sleep and personal care, we all have to do that. We all have to take care of, you know, work or studies or things like that and do the things around the house. But then, you know, instead of saying, well, my spouse and I, we went on a date last week, so we're good for the year. No, we're going to make sure that that's a priority. Or I talked to my kids last week, so this week I'm just going to ignore them. No, we're going to make sure that that's a priority. I read the Bible last month, so September should be good for me to get back into it. No, we want to make it a priority. We want to go to the gym. We want to volunteer, you know, whether in the community or here at church. We want to go to our small group. We want to spend time meeting with our friends, and we want to do that hobby that we like to do. And so if we take our week and we prioritize our time, look what happens. We then take a look at, you know, the things that we do, the discretionary time. Well, we can slip a little bit of that game on our phone into the time that we have. And, well, there's Facebook and Fortnite, and there's, you know, Sports Center. There's that trip to the mall. Maybe I'll look at Pinterest a little bit and see some cool stuff. You know, then there's all this discretionary time. Well, I'll watch a little bit of Netflix and maybe one of the Lord of the Rings movie. But amazingly, what happens is we're able to fit all of that in. And like I said, this isn't a magic trick. It just shows us what happens, that we can take our week and we can even add more of that to it. And we can still get our week filled. And the point of this is that oftentimes we don't think about how we use our time. And we need to be wise stewards of our time. We're instructed to do that in the scriptures. And so it's important for us to think about that. And so just a little example of how we can take a look at how we use our time. Andy Stanley, when he talks about this, he says, priority determines capacity. When we take a look at our priorities and we establish them and we set them in place, it determines the capacity of our life. And when we take and make sure that we put the big chunks in, it gives us freedom to do more of the things that we like to do. Pat Hollinger Pickett says, we all have the same 24/7. What we do with our time becomes our priority. Avoid priorities by default. And that filling our life with all the little stuff first is those priorities by default. Priority determines capacity. I like that. In our Bibles, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, starting at verse 15, it says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Make the best use of our time. Live as wise, not as unwise. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, I like what he says. This is a little bit more of that passage, but he says this, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. As I said before, those things that we fill our life with, they're not evil things, they're not bad things, but we just fail to put them in the proper perspective. We fail to put them in priority, and we allow them to filter into our life. Peterson uses some pretty strong words to describe those kinds of time wasters, barren pursuits, shams, and scandals. But prioritizing our time puts us well on the way to taking Paul's advice to be careful how we live. Not to be foolish or to live as unwise, but to live as wise. And to make the most of every opportunity. And that doesn't mean that we need to take our calendars and make sure that they're jammed full, that every moment that we're awake, that we have something scheduled. That's not the point. In John 10:10, it says that we're to live lives to the full. Jesus came that we might have life and live them to the full. And that doesn't mean work, 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 but that doesn't mean just play, play, play. It means having a healthy balance of rest and renewal, Sabbath and recreation and work. And so does the Bible kind of give us more of a handhold on what that looks like, how we use our time? And I found that it wouldn't be a real good use of our time if we each got out our calendars and just kind of walked through it blow by blow, but maybe some overarching principles to take a look at when we think about how we use our time. And the first one is that when we think about principles for prioritizing our time, perhaps we should ask God for help. So over this summer, I want to encourage you to set aside some time with God and your calendar, to pray over your schedule, to ask God to give you some advice, some help on, are there things in my schedule that are there's too much of that, or there's not enough of that, or are there some things that are lacking that should be there that aren't there at all, or things that are there that maybe we should cut out totally. And in the Old Testament, Moses, he led the children of Israel, and there's this scene in this story where Moses, his father-in-law, comes to visit him and see what's going on. And I think Moses really wants to impress his father-in-law, Jethro. And so Moses is showing Jethro how he goes through his daily routine. And Jethro says to him, instead of, you know, hey, good job, Moses, he says, Moses, what you're doing is not good. He says, you're not making good use of your time. You're doing too much. You're trying to do everything. And Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. And in the psalm, it's all about time. It's about how we're to use time and the day-to-day effects of how we use our time, how it affects just over a lifetime, how it affects generations. And I think the key to Psalm 90 is verse 12, where it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, help us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When we think about how we use our time, ask God to help. Give me wisdom, God, to know what to do. Moses, that was his prayer. I think it's pretty good prayer. And so when we think of how we allot our time, to ask God to take those decisions, those big chunks of time that we're going to commit to, whether it's you know, here at church or at work or at home, and when we think about how we chunk out our time, to ask God, God, give me wisdom to know how to establish my priorities. In James, we're reminded that when we ask for wisdom, God is faithful and he will give us wisdom. So ask God for help. The second principle is to keep an eternal perspective. I don't know about you, but sometimes things can get in my face and I can get just so distracted by the tyranny of the urgent that this thing that's in my way, all I can see is it, and I start running around and I start getting distracted and chasing these things, and pretty soon I'm all over the place. And I've lost perspective on where I'm going and what I'm supposed to be about. And it's kind of like the forest for the trees kind of scenario. So how do we do that? How do we keep an eternal perspective when sometimes these things get in our way and all we can see is that? Well, I grew up on a farm, and my folks are here this morning, and so I better tell this right. But when I was growing up, my dad took me out in the tractor, and one of the things about farmers is we kind of look at how straight everybody else's rows are in the field, and that's one of the signs of how good a farmer you are, is how straight your rows are. So my dad takes me out and wants me to do a good job and make nice straight rows, but it's also efficient. I mean, what's the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And so making the best use of my time and doing a good job for my dad, he said, if you want to go straight, you pick a point at the other end of the field, and you drive towards that point. Now, don't forget what's behind you. Turn around, make sure that, you know, the cultivator is still there and everything's still working right. Make sure you're not running over, you know, big rocks or things like that. But pick a point at the end of the field and drive straight towards it. And sure enough, it worked. Now, there were times when I would get distracted, daydreaming, or somebody in their first service said that they started following clouds, and that usually didn't do them so well. But when I picked that point at the end of the field, I was able to go straight. And so how do we incorporate that into keeping an eternal perspective? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4, it says this, for we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. And so to focus on eternity, to focus on something that we don't necessarily see, but we know that God has set a place for us in eternity, for those who love him. And in Ecclesiastes 3, it says this, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. He's planted eternity in our hearts. So when we focus on what we know is there, what we know in our heart is that there is heaven awaiting us on the other side of this earth. And when we set our focus there, it will help us go straight and true. When we make decisions of how we use our time, when we make decisions around vocation, of what we're going to do with our life, where we're going to live, who we're going to spend our time with, when we keep that eternal perspective in mind, it helps us run straight and true towards what we are supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to use our lives. And so that's that macro level. I mean, we can use it at a micro level too. We can sit down in the restaurant and we go, do I have the salad or the poutine? And, you know, we could ask for wisdom on that. And, you know, the poutine maybe once in a while wouldn't be so bad, but cumulatively over time, if we have a constant diet of poutine and not salad, that could have some disastrous effects as well. But when we think about how we use our time, what we do, if we keep an eternal perspective, knowing that God has planted eternity in our hearts, we don't always understand what God is doing. We can't always make sense of it, but we know what God has in store for us. Keep an eternal perspective. The third point is to prioritize God in your daily plans. I don't know what you might call them, quiet time, time with God, daily devotions, whatever it is, it's a good idea to spend some time with God, and even on a daily basis. In Matthew 4, Jesus is talking and he quotes Deuteronomy 8, which puts a daily intake of God's word as equal to or more important than a daily intake of food. Jesus says, "For people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's word is so rich, and I mean rich in the food sense of rich. God's word is satisfying. It's enough that a daily dose of God's word will sustain us. It's enough. This may not be a fair comparison, but I'm going to do it anyways, and I'll ask for your forgiveness if you don't think it's fair. But if we ate food as often as we consume God's word, how healthy would we be? What would we look like? If we took time to eat of God's word and we took time to eat of our food at the same amount, what would we look like? Would we be plump Bible readers? Would we be lean, mean Bible reading machines? Would we be kind of thin? Would we be in some real trouble? I'm not saying that we have to, but I'm saying that it's a good idea. David modeled to us meeting with God every morning. Daniel, we know, met with the Lord on a daily basis. In Joshua chapter 1, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God wants to strengthen us with the richness of his word. He wants to feed us daily if we choose to sit at the table and dine on his word. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to feed us. And there are all kinds of things that we can use to put this into practice. There's lots of tools, there's lots of resources that we can take advantage of. There's the Read Through the Bible in a Year Bible, and it's divided up into daily readings. There's Daily Audio Bible Podcast. That's a podcast that I used for years. There's Bible reading plans. There's Right Now Media, where you can have all kinds of Bible study resources at your fingertips, and it's free for you to use. And I mean, they're all great to have, and maybe you've got one of those things sitting on your shelf. It's great to have it sitting on your shelf, but if we don't put it into practice, if we don't make it a priority and put it in the jar of our day or our week, we may find that it doesn't fit. So as we kind of wrap things up, our life is precious. And it's composed of these precious moments that God has given us, these seconds that are given to us by God. And you might look back, and I look back, and I look at some of the things that I've spent my time on and how what I've done, and I could get pretty discouraged by looking back. And that could be part of how I wander off track, is because I've been so focused on how I've spent my time. But that's not the point. The point is not to do that, but to look forward, to focus on what is eternal, and to know that no matter what, God is a God of redemption, and He can take whatever we've done with our life, and He can redeem it and turn it into something that He can use for His purposes. And so if we're just looking back, that's not good, but to focus on eternity and to focus on where we're headed and what God has in store for us, and not to live simply by default, but to set some priorities. And if priority determines capacity, we can be assured that when we prioritize time, we will be able to accomplish what God has set out for us if we allow God to help us determine our priorities, if we ask Him to help us. I want to encourage you this week, set in your calendar a block of time to sit down with God in your prayer closet, at your kitchen table, wherever you meet with God, and to sit down with your Bible, with your calendar, and set an appointment to meet with God and just talk with Him about what it is that He wants for you. To not get sidetracked by the tyranny of the urgent, but to set in place a plan and a purpose to allow God to lead us, because He walks with us daily, and to meet with Him daily and set priority time, not just at the end of the day, try and fit it in before you drift off to sleep. And maybe that end of the day is when you have your best time with God, and that's great, but to prioritize that time, to give Him the best of our day, the best of our week. There's some really good resources. Andy Stanley has a series, The Time of Your Life. It's on Right Now Media. Les and Leslie Parrott, they have a series called Your Time-Starved Marriage. John Piper has a book called Don't Waste Your Life. There's all these opportunities that we can take advantage of and use. And so I would encourage you to keep Paul's words to the Ephesians in mind as you plan. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We're all journeying on this. None of us have it totally mastered. I know I struggle to figure out how I use my time wisely, and sometimes I fail miserably. And we're not to be discouraged, but we're to keep that perspective. And so may God bless you as you look to God to lead you in how we spend our time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You speak to these very practical matters of how we use our time, and You give us examples of people in Scripture who did a good job of it, or those who struggled. And so, Father, would we be able to just allow You to lead us? Would we look to You to give us wisdom that we might number our days and use them wisely, that we would keep our eyes focused on You and what You have in store for us, and that we would meet with You daily to allow You to speak into our life. Father, would You allow us to go into this week knowing that You are in control? We pray this in Jesus' name.